to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show. It is Monday, the start of another whole crazy weekend. Boy, I got to tell you, it just as time goes on, you keep thinking at some point the weird factor has to plateau, where the total amount of weirdness coming out of Washington, D.C. and the corporate media, it has to plateau somewhere below the level of the total loss of credibility by all of the American public. But it just seems to escalate and escalate and escalate. All right, let's get into it here. First of all, our number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And Donovan is in the control room. He's hovering over that phone, and I keep forgetting to turn that bell off. Okay, so Donovan's in the control room, his hand hovering over that telephone, waiting for you to call in, put you right on the air, and get you on the show here. Starting with the economy, and of course, probably the worst news of all, we are hearing out of the White House from one of Obama's advisors that a middle-class tax hike is not being ruled out. Basically, folks, here is the bad news. Starting last September, the government started borrowing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to give to Wall Street, mostly to the banks and investment companies and businesses where Congress had their own stock portfolios. And they were borrowing from the Federal Reserve, and it means you've got to pay it back. It's about $100,000 for every one of you. So at some point, they've got to start taking that money back. We're in the middle of a depression, and Obama is raising taxes, or he's putting taxes out there that will be raising the price of your consumer goods. And we already had this cap and credit energy system that they're trying to ramrod through Congress based on the imaginary threat of human-caused global warming, that it's going to add $700 a year to every American's cost of living at a time when we cannot afford it. Then we hear that Barack Obama is volunteering all Americans to submit to this new global tax coming from the United Nations. And now we're hearing from one of the top White House advisors, okay, that a middle-class tax hike is under discussion. Now, they're putting it out slowly. This is a trial balloon. This is kind of like to let you know it's in the offing. The idea being that if they just came out and announced, we're raising your taxes on the middle class, that would provoke a reaction. But now they start saying, well, we're thinking about it. We're not. We're thinking about it. We're not. To sort of get you used to the idea, you can't really get upset about it if it's not actually happening. So this is just to get you used to the idea, and then down the road when they figure you're already kind of over your funk about the possibility, they'll say, yeah, we got to raise taxes on the middle class, and we're really sorry, but it's that donged Osama bin Laden's fault, or it's Ahmadinejad's fault, or whoever they can figure to blame on this thing. But the reality is, of course, it is the fault of the federal government, which gave away billions in tax credits to corporations to take your job away, and then gave trillions of dollars to Wall Street to prop them up, and now expects all of us to just sort of gladly line up to pay the bills for all of this, even though none of it had the approval and blessing of the American people. Last September, 90% of the phone calls to the Capitol Hill, do not use our tax dollars to save Wall Street. And yet they went ahead and did it. So if they're borrowing all this money and they're throwing it at Wall Street against the express wishes of the American people, then we have taxation without representation. And at least in the school I went to as a kid, in New England farming country, taxation without representation was considered a legitimate reason to fire the government and start all over again, like we did in 1776. So we're back there. Back there with taxation without representation. They're raising taxes. They're volunteering us for global taxes. They're putting carbon taxes on everything that we buy and sell. It's all about money, 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 money. We, the American people, don't agree with any of it, and yet we, the American people, are not allowed any say in it at all, at all, at all. It is just out of control there. It is just out of control. And, you know, I mean, it is so bad out there. I mean, the Air Force is even letting people go. Their budgets have been cut. Kimberly Clark, the paper company, they're letting people go. Everywhere. Unemployment's going up. Remember, 2 weeks ago, the unemployment numbers were slightly less new jobs claims in the week before, and everybody was celebrating this was the bottom. And then last week, the numbers took a major jump upward again. There is no recovery in sight. All of the experts are saying that there is no recovery in sight. All this stuff about green shoots and glimmer of hope and just grit your teeth and bear with the hardship longer and everything will be okay. It is all propaganda. It is all to lull you into a false sense of security. The government is completely out of money. What California is going through this week, the federal government is only a couple of months away from. They're running out of money. You've seen it all over TV, these commercials for the tax resolution companies. There are more of them now. It's getting to be, it's probably the only part of the economy that's growing, is trying to find a way to deal with the tax mess. You would think that somebody inside the government would understand that we, the American people, have hit the wall. I mean, if you're a Nancy Pelosi and you're worth a half a billion dollars, yeah, another 700 bucks here, another few thousand there is no big deal. But we're not Nancy Pelosi, thank goodness. We're all out here struggling just to stay alive, to keep a roof over our head, to keep food on the table. Any tax increase is an attack upon us. It is an attack upon our health and welfare and our safety. It is an attack. They are looting the American people. We've got decades of really bad decisions, at least from the point of view of the people. They're great decisions for Wall Street and for the politicians. They're happier than pigs in slop. But we, the American people who are supposed to be paying for it all, we are tapped out. If we still had our high-paying manufacturing jobs, we'd shrug our shoulders and say, okay, this is just the government being what the government is always about. And we'd just grumble a little bit. We'd go on paying the increased taxes. But the government gave our high-paying jobs away. They drove our clients to other countries. With this cap and credit fiasco, they're going to drive even more jobs to other countries because all the oil companies are going to shut their refineries down. They're not going to want to pay this additional carbon tax and then have to raise gas prices here in an already stressed market. They'll shut the refineries down, throw everybody out of work, and instead of importing our crude oil from other countries, we'll be importing our refined petroleum products from other countries. We'll be having gasoline come in on the tankers. We'll be having diesel fuel coming in the tankers, kerosene coming on the tankers. And the prices are still going to go up, but the corporations won't be paying the carbon tax. It is a badly thought policy. We have a government that is desperate to grab more money from you any way they can, and they don't get it. They don't get it. There is no more money out here. The money's all been collected into Washington, D.C., and into Wall Street, and into the Federal Reserve, and we are in a depression. This is what caused the last Great Depression. The Federal Reserve cut the money supply and strangled the entire nation. And they're doing it again in order to force through this new expanded power for the Federal Reserve. They're doing it to prevent an audit. You heard Bernanke last week. An audit of the Federal Reserve will destroy the economy. It's a threat. It's the nuclear option. We're not going to let you check the books to see how much money we've made off the American people. If you try and audit us, the economy will crash. The economy's already crashing. They're already doing it. Things are so bad. I mean, cities across America, we're coming up on the 4th of July. Not that a lot of people are all that enthusiastic about the red, white, and blue anymore. Certainly that's our experience out here in Hawaii. We have fireworks three times a year. We have New Year's, Chinese New Year's, and 4th of July. New Year's and Chinese New Year's, it is a festival. It's all over the place. 4th of July, kind of been a feeling of ho-hum. You know, great excuse to take some time off from work, have a hot dog, watch some sporting events, and we'll light a few sparklers. But the enthusiasm for the 4th of July, as expressed by the display of fireworks, is very much, very much reduced. But now cities that normally have 4th of July firework displays, they're having to cancel them. They're canceling because they're out of money, absolutely out of money. Speaking of out of money, we had a story a couple of weeks ago where $15.3 million in gold was unaccounted for in the Royal Canadian Mint. And at first they were saying, probably just an accounting error, as we miscounted, blah, blah, blah. They've completed the audit. Nope, no bookkeeping error. Somebody has walked off with $15.3 million in gold from the Royal Canadian Mint. This is 1,200 pounds of gold. It's not like somebody put it in their pocket and walked out of the building with it. Maybe this is where some of the gold that's been flooding onto the market to depress gold prices has been coming from. But there's something very underhanded going here, and I don't think whatever it is could have happened without the connivance of the Canadian government. We'll be right back, 800-259-9231.
is Cascadia Public Radio.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we're going to go to the phones here in just a minute. Before we do, just a short story that came through. Missing banker discovered shot dead in the woods. Hubert Bomeister, 49, was found dead of a gunshot wound in the woods near his home. I absolutely, absolutely cannot condone this. Please, 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 please do not shoot and kill a banker unless you intend to use all of him. Don't leave anything to waste. I'm tired of this trophy hunting stuff. We're going to go to the phones. Jeff in Texas. Aloha, Jeff. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hey, love the show. I just wanted to point out that the carbon change agenda, it's coming through Washington, but it's not coming from Washington. It is coming from the elite in Europe, and I just wanted to point out two examples that anybody can look up. One is in 1991, a document by the Club of Rome called The First Global Revolution, and it's out there on scribed.com, but you can Google it or whatever to find this document in which they actually say that the common enemy of humanity is man. And one of the person who wrote the foreword to this document is actually Prince Philip of Edinburgh, and I think you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And another interesting article from May 2007 from BBC News is Queen Visits NASA Base on U.S. Tour. And this is where the Queen of England comes to NASA, and basically they put out a little map diagram on this website called The Queen's First Carbon Offset State Visit, and they show how she donated money for a carbon offset in order to compensate for the carbon emitted on her trip. So these are the people that are setting the tone and guiding this, and Washington, unfortunately, is just a prostitute for it.
Well, definitely on that part of it. One of the stories we were going to cover later today, and I guess now's a good time to mention it, of course, is this huge scandal that is emerging over an Environmental Protection Agency report, which casts serious doubt on the scientific validity of the claims made to bolster the cap and credit system. And emails that are being leaked out are basically saying the Environmental Protection Agency, which is supposed to be operating independently, was supposed to have this independent report, they suppressed it. And they were telling scientists, the decision has already been made. We are going this way. And anything that does not support that is simply not going to see the light of day. So here we have the U.S. government is knowingly pushing this agenda of global warming to sell not only the cap and credit tax system, but a surrendering of our sovereignty to a new global governing order. This is what they're talking about. It is a threat to the whole planet. Therefore, we need a planetary governing body to control the environment. And, of course, once that exists, more and more sovereignty on other aspects of our life will be transferred to this global government. And we'll have a bunch of elites who are able to stand up there on a pyramid built to their own vanity saying, I'm the king of the world, I'm better than Alexander the Great, and all this other really good stuff, while the rest of us are driven down into poverty and squalor and forced to build these pyramids to their vanity. And the bottom line, as you said in that document from the Club of Rome, there's saying the greatest threat to humanity is man. Gee, what do you think a global government is going to do about that? Because we don't have the pretext of wars between nation states to thin out the population like they did in the last two world wars. So it's either a fake pandemic to thin out the useless eaters, as George Bush Sr. used to call them, or literally rounding certain people up and saying, well, we've decided that you're not a contributor to the planet anymore, therefore you're going to be executed. In either event, you know, we're basically talking about the ultimate totalitarian government. And that's one of the reasons I've been opposed to globalism all along. I get a lot of emails from people saying, globalism is good, it'll mean the end of war, and it'll mean the end of economic hardship. And, of course, that second one is nonsense, because a global government will have a global Federal Reserve, a global reserve financial system, which we've already established by the very nature that it is set up. More money is owed to that central bank than is actually in existence. And it's going to condemn the entire planet Earth to an endless series of recessions and depressions and recessions and depressions, which will absolutely dispirit the entire human population. It's going to bring evolution to a standstill between a single global government and a single global bank. Mankind's progress into the future will come to a crashing halt.
Well, let me add one wrinkle here, and this proves that this carbon tax plan is not about saving the environment. There's a move started in 2006 to shut down the EPA's libraries. It's unbelievable, and let me just give you the article headline: Critics protest plans to shutter EPA libraries. And that'll take you to NPR.org, National Public Radio. And there's actually an interview where the guest talks about the fact that the EPA, during the Bush administration, has been ordered to start shutting down their libraries and completely digitizing their documents and basically shoving them into some strange archive that nobody's going to have access to.
Well, that's basically what this scandal is this week, is that the EPA produced a report saying that there is no merit to the idea that humans are causing global warming, especially because we're in the seventh year of a global cooling trend, and the EPA suppressed it. They hid it in order to support the agenda of adding more tax and more control to our lives. It doesn't get any more overt than that.
Yeah, how are they going to measure in years to come how effective they are at reducing, carbon emissions if they bury all the evidence in these libraries of what the temperatures used to be and all the climate conditions? It's crazy.
It is. It absolutely is crazy, and a lot of the data that's in there is already inaccurate. We've documented that a lot of the temperature data to support the claim of a warming Earth came from temperature sensors placed in the outflow of air conditioning. We've got a photograph of one of these temperature sensing stations right next to a trash incinerator. Gee, I wonder if it's possibly picking up warmer temperatures. We documented how a change to the paint of the enclosures for these weather stations resulted in an increase of a whole degree of temperature inside. And remember, the global warming people, they're not talking about 20, 30, 40 degree change. They're talking about 4/10 of a degree over the next couple of decades. I mean, it's minuscule amounts of change. And they're doing that because they can't be gainsaid on that. And now we're in like the seventh year of a cooling trend that appears to be continuing. And they're still pushing this thing. Global warming, human caused, it's all your fault. And it's all about setting up a global government to take care of this global crisis, which doesn't really exist anyway, because if you look at the geological and paleontological history of planet Earth, the climate is always changing. It's never stayed the same, not once in 4.5 billion years. It's always getting warmer, or it's always getting closer in these large 100,000-year cycles.
Yeah, well, even if there was a trend, you would think they'd be putting on newspaper and on television the year-over-year satellite photos of the Arctic Circle, and they're not doing it because it's not showing what they want you to see.
That's exactly right. I mean, they tried to explain it away as a malfunctioning sensor on one of the satellites when they were claiming that the Arctic ice was in retreat, and it turned out the Arctic ice cap has actually grown over the last year by an area greater than the size of the country of Germany here. Okay, we got to stop here. Thank you very much for the phone call, Jeff. We're going to pick up this subject on the other side of the break. This is What Really Happened. I'm your host, Mike Rivera. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And a Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Boy, we're halfway through the show. I have not even begun to touch all the stuff we had to talk about. I'll probably cascade a lot of it into tomorrow. Except there'll probably be more weird stuff there tomorrow. And I guess I'm reporting on all this stuff because if you go to the corporate media and you go around all the channels there, it's all Michael Jackson all the time. And really, they're just using that for such a distraction. So a couple of real things before we get into I want to get back into this Iran and the Honduras situation. Apparently, the U.S. is up to its traditional overthrow the governments we don't like kind of stuff going on here. But turning back to one of our ongoing series, Swindler's List. Bernie Madoff has been sentenced to 150 years in prison, which means he'll be eligible for parole when he's 112 or something like that here. Frankly, I got to be very honest. We're hearing more and more that Bernie's operation was tied in with Israeli intelligence operations, that Bernie himself personally did not profit that much from this Ponzi. I mean, he had all of his other business interests going on. You know, and everyone's saying, why was he doing this thing on the side when he had all these legitimate businesses that were making him more money than any one person could spend? And more than a few observers, including yours truly, have speculated that he was conducting this little pyramid Ponzi scheme to raise money inside the United States for covert intelligence operations by Israel. That way they didn't have to worry about the money coming in across a border through means that could be tracked, you know, because of all the anti-terror legislation, so forth and so on. So Wayne Madsen is reporting that Bernie Madoff has ties to Israeli intelligence. We already know that the paper trail from Bernie Madoff's little pyramid scheme went through various investors to AIPAC, and from AIPAC was used to fund the campaigns of congressmen who were going to vote favorable for Israel all the time. So this appears to have been, or possibly appears to have been, the funding mechanism by which Israel subverted the U.S. Congress. And I use that word specifically because when I was a kid, we were growing up, we were always told to be on the lookout for communist subversion of the U.S. government. Well, it wasn't the communists we had to worry about, was it? They're not even around anymore. It's AIPAC subversion of the U.S. government and how much power they have. Their guys can be caught spying on the U.S., get out of jail free. The guy who helped him do it was supposed to be in jail for 12 years. He's been given a get-out-of-jail-free card. That is how overt and blatant Israel's control over our government is right now. So I'm going to speculate here that Bernie is going to suffer a strange and mysterious illness that does not warrant an autopsy, and he's going to be declared dead, and he will go and spend the rest of his life on some remote tropical island playing canasta with Ken Lay. Something along that line. Meanwhile, Swiss banks are having such a headache dealing with the Internal Revenue Service over disclosure of Americans' bank accounts. They don't want to deal business with Americans anymore. Take your money someplace else. Go down to the Caymans or something with it. And here's your free cuckoo clock, and thank you very much anyway, and you're on your way. Okay. Now, turning to Iran. The propaganda war on Twitter is still being fought. They took a major body check because Michael Jackson has completely blown Iran off the trending lists. It's just not there anymore. And the propaganda war has basically degenerated down to, you've got to support the protesters if you love freedom and democracy. And no matter how many times you point out that a political group with less than one-third of support of the popular of the public of Iran, if they gain power, they can't allow democratic elections or they're out of a job. No matter how many times you make that clear to them, the protesters said, no, 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 this is about freedom and democracy. If you love freedom and democracy, you will help us overthrow Iran. Which, we're getting close into that Orwell newspeak. You know, freedom is overthrow, democracy is slavery, or whatever they're going to do here. But it's down to a shouting match where they're stamping their feet and saying, yes, 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 we believe in freedom and democracy. And shut the heck up. We're going to block you. Evidence continues to surface that a huge amount of this Twitter propaganda is not even originating in Iran. It's originating in Israel. It is a propaganda war. They're trying to hijack Twitter. It isn't working. That's the good news. The people of the world, the people on Twitter, the blog audience in general are far too sophisticated to fall for this stuff anymore. We all grew up with it on TV and radio and newspapers. Just because it's happening on the Internet doesn't mean we don't recognize it when it's being done again. And as a result, CNN just ran a poll, and amazingly enough, CNN came back and said 75% of Americans are opposed to any intervention in the Iran election crisis. Now, here at What Really Happened, we ran a little poll of our own, and better than 95% of the people responding thought that the U.S. and Israel were behind the upset in Iran, that they were trying to basically repeat the 1953 overthrow of the democratically elected government. We are seeing articles from the foreign press flat out saying denials by the U.S. that they're intervening in Iran are simply not credible because they've done it so many times before. The $400 million pledged to the protesters by Bush, the additional $20 million just sent by Barack Obama. You know, for Barack Obama to stand up there and say we're not interfering with Iran's internal politics is absurd. $20 million is a huge amount of interference. And that's what's going on down there. Meanwhile, I don't know if you caught this on the news break coming in before the show, where Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is out there screaming about, you know, a recount won't cure the lack of credibility of the Iranian election results. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black, because in Iran, the pre-election polls gave Ahmadinejad a 2-to-1 margin. The exit polls gave Ahmadinejad a 2-to-1 margin. The official results gave Ahmadinejad a 2-to-1 margin. The recount gave Ahmadinejad a 2-to-1 margin. It's all matching up. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton in the New Hampshire Democratic primary, the pre-election polling gave Obama the victory. The exit polls gave Obama the victory, but somehow the next morning, Hillary Clinton wound up with the Democratic win in the New Hampshire primary. It saved her campaign. The general wisdom was that if she lost in New Hampshire, she was completely out of the race. And so for this woman who benefited from a strange discontinuity between the pre-election polls and the exit polls and the actual official results, for her to be casting aspersions on Iran is the ultimate of hypocrisy. And the bottom line is, until we know for a fact that we have honest and fair elections in this country, we have no standing to point fingers at any other country. Now, the big stink right now is over the British embassy arrests. And again, going back to Twitter and the propaganda, they're trying to turn this into a new Iranian hostage crisis. Back in the 1979, when the Shah was kicked out, and his son is now trying to get the job back. But back in 1979, the Iranian revolutionaries captured the U.S. embassy and held the American diplomats there hostage for a little over a year. It was a big, huge stink. It adversely affected Jimmy Carter's bid for re-election and helped get Ronald Reagan with George Bush Sr. as vice president into the White House. And they're trying to push this up, that this is a new hostage crisis, it's a new Iranian, you know, so forth and so on. Here is the situation. No diplomats have been arrested or detained. The people who are arrested are all locals. They live in Iran. They were hired as staff by the British embassy. They were captured on video going out there and raising a ruckus and trying to basically fluff up this overthrow. They were caught actively participating on camera. Five of the nine have already been released. There are no diplomats. There are no hostages. The four who have been arrested, we don't know what's going to happen to them. You know, Iran has their laws about going out there and causing trouble. I mean, if you really think about it, is there any difference between Iran arresting these protesters here versus what was done to protesters at the GOP convention in New York when they were all arrested, rounded up, and taken down to these chain-link cages down at the docks? Again, the U.S. is in no position, morally or legally, to be pointing fingers at anybody else. But there are no diplomatic personnel. Nobody's diplomatic immunity has been violated. The only people arrested, four of them are still in custody, being questioned. They are locals. They live in Iran. They're simply hired staff. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the last segment of our show after these words from our sponsors.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, They're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our last segment here. I got a couple of stories to jam in here. I want to take a moment away from Iran to go down to Honduras because there's this huge coup going on down there. It's rapidly escalating. They're talking about the ambassadors from other neighboring countries have been taken prisoner by this military coup. It is important to understand that Honduras is one of the countries that the U.S. has covertly interfered with before. It is now known, it is established, that two of the ringleaders of this current military coup are graduates of the School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. Just go out and Google School of the Americas, and you will find this is the institution that the U.S. government has been running for decades in which we train the dictators that are installed in other countries. We train them in the methods of repressing their population. It's sometimes called the school for torture. This is where the U.S. prepares these foreign nationals to take over their countries on behalf of the United States. And two of the ringleaders of the Honduras coup are graduates of that American school. So this is another American covert operation they seem to be wrapping up. Meanwhile, turning back over to Iran, it is being reported in the Middle Eastern press that American forces have attempted to take over an Iranian oil field near the country's shared western border with Iraq. Apparently, U.S. forces backed by tanks entered the Musian area of the Daloran County, basically laying pipeline, getting ready to come in and basically just start drilling and sucking oil out of there. But they were across the border. Iranian forces basically had to intervene and push them back across the border. So already we're seeing this covert encroachment. This is what got the first Desert Storm war going. There were American oil companies that were right on the border with Kuwait, and they were slant drilling into Iraq. And the real reason, along with being told by April Glaspie that it was going to be okay with the U.S. government, Saddam invaded Kuwait in order to shut down the slant drilling operation that was drilling at a diagonal from the Kuwaiti border underneath Iraq's border into Iraq's oil fields and simply sucking the oil out. That's what slant drilling does. So that's what's going on there. Now, the Brookings Institute, in their latest publication, they're openly talking about the possibility of an horrific provocation that will trigger an invasion of Iran. They're openly discussing a new 9/11. They're really talking about it. They're really thinking about it. They just don't get it in the upper level, in the top of those ivory towers. I don't know, maybe oxygen deprivation is killing the brain cells. They don't understand that we, the American people, and more than that, the people of the world, we're already very suspicious about 9/11. You know, even with all of our government officials saying, don't question the official story. You're unpatriotic if you don't believe everything we say. And if they're going to try it again, there's a very real possibility that on the day it happens, it will not be believed. Absolutely. So I don't know what they're talking about. Horrific provocation, whether it'll be a nuclear bomb someplace, maybe on the West Coast, because the East Coast has already had their 9/11. Who knows? Staged pandemic. Oh, it wasn't swine flu after all. It's something that those danged Iranians put together. Meanwhile, over in Pakistan, this was an interesting story. There's a huge, huge anti-U.S. protest taking place. The photos of it, the crowds are larger than the ones we've been seeing in the photos coming out of Iran, both before and after the election. Huge anti-U.S. rally. And yet the same corporate media that is reporting daily on the Iranian protests and how those protesters have to have their voice heard, that democracy demands that their concerns be listened to by the government. We're not seeing that same coverage about the thousands and thousands of Pakistanis who are saying they want the U.S. out of their country. I mean, the U.S. has been crossing the border with these drones. They're killing civilians left and right. I don't blame the Pakistanis for wanting the U.S. out of there. And they're holding these protest rallies to demand the Americans leave. And the corporate media totally ignoring it. It's a non-story. Talk about double standards and hypocrisy. It doesn't get any clearer than that. It really, really does not. Now, getting back to the situation over the global warming hoax, and it is. We're in the seventh year of a cooling trend. The ice is growing. The glaciers are coming back. It is getting colder. And they're still trying to sell you this lemon to get your money and to be able to justify imposing more controls over your life. Now, interestingly, there is a convention coming up in Copenhagen for the Polar Bear Specialist Group set up under the International Union for the Conservation of Nature Species Survival Commission. I don't even want to know what the acronym of that sounds like. And basically, their agenda is to create a suitably scary report on how polar bears are being threatened with extinction by man-made global warming, in order to support this push for the UN's major conference on climate change in December. The UN is having their big brouhaha about climate change in December. This polar bear specialist group is supposed to produce a paper saying, yes, the polar bears are dying off. Scientists who are saying the polar bears are not being threatened by the climate are being told simply don't show up. It's just another dog and pony show. They're filtering. The EPA is filtering. This polar bear specialist group, they're filtering. They're only allowing information that supports the agenda of convincing you that the Earth is getting warmer and you are to blame and you've got to make up for it by bowing down before the new global government and surrendering more of your money to people who know better than you. Or at least that's the thought here. It's a scam. It is the biggest scam perpetrated on the world in the history of the world. Don't fall for it. The same people out there screaming human-caused global warming are the same people who told you Saddam Hussein had nuclear weapons and could attack us all with 45 minutes notice. They were lying then. They're probably lying now. Actually, I'm convinced they are lying now. And they're doing it for the same reason. They're going to take something that happens naturally, which is the climate changing. They turn it into a crisis. And then they sell you a solution. And the solution is, give us your money and your obedience. And everything and all will be well. That's what's going on. The government is going to break your leg and then sell you a crutch. And then proudly proclaim, see, you would not be able to walk at all if it wasn't for us. Pat Buchanan has come out on MSNBC, and I don't always agree with him, but he absolutely said the climate bill is simply another transfer of wealth to world government. This is the largest single tax increase in the history of the United States, and it's covert because you don't get the tax bill. The tax bill goes to the companies that put gas in your car, that put food on the supermarket shelves, that put the products in the stores, that run the stores. They all get the additional tax, and then that tax gets put into the price for the goods that you buy from them. But the end result is another $700 a year that you will be paying for absolutely nothing. Because the climate isn't getting warmer. It's getting cooler. And they're going to take all that money in obedience. And then they'll announce, oh my goodness, the world is cooler. We averted disaster. Are we not incredibly clever? And as we pointed out, this scandal about the EPA suppressing a report on global warming. A report in which the EPA itself says this is not really a valid issue, this focus on carbon dioxide. And the people pushing the cap and credit tax system are relying on old data. They're relying on cherry-picked data. They're absolutely not looking at any of the newer studies saying that the Earth is cooling. They're just trying. It's a scare campaign to scare you out of money and obedience, and that is all it is. We're starting to see more and more congressmen stand up on this scandal. I just put a YouTube up at whatreallyhappened.com where it's starting to go public. And you, what you need to do is you need to take all of this information about the EPA suppressed report, you need to take it viral. You need to send it to every U.S. senator. The House vote is over. We can't go back on that. Apparently, there is something like they've got a week for some of the people in the House to change their vote. But really, it's time to go after the Senate. Send this information out there. Force it onto web. Force it anywhere you can. It's the biggest lie ever told, even bigger than Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. Okay, that's it for our Monday show. We'll be back tomorrow at 5 p.m. With whatever craziness the government is dishing out in the next 24 hours. So until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones, be skeptical, be angry, be active. And aloha, America.
Public Radio.